This is an interview with Wilbur Mortensen on the American Legion. Wilbur lives at 1324 Fifth Avenue South in Moorhead. The interview was conducted Saturday morning, May 11, 1985, at One Riverside, Moorhead. The interviewer was John Jenkins. Wilbur, how long have you lived in Moorhead?
Well, since I was born, I've lived here all my life.
No, you're a native of Moorhead.
Yeah.
And you're a member of the American Legion.
Yes, I have belonged now. My card is a 40-year card. I joined in 1946.
That was
one of our past commanders, Hilding Christofferson, was a mail carrier, and he's the one that signed me up after I got out of the service.
Right after you got out of the service. Mm-hmm. The Legion is a veterans organization, essentially, isn't it?
Yes. Those who served in World War I or World War II, and during the Korean conflict and Vietnam, all of those are eligible. Any who served during those times are eligible to belong to the American Legion.
When do you recall, when was the Legion actually founded?
Well, it was founded in 1919. The first meeting, I believe, was a caucus in Paris, France. But then the following summer, I believe it was, they had a caucus in St. Louis. And the first national convention was held in Minneapolis. I don't recall if that is in 1919 or 1920.
Mm-hmm. And then the local post is a part of the national organization.
Yes, that's right.
And is there a state organization also?
Yes, there is a state. They call them departments. Mm-hmm. And the post, and then the district organization and the department organization.
I presume that the local post has a name that it goes by?
Yes, Melvin E. Hurl. He was one of the first men from this area who was killed in action in World War I.
And I would also gather that Moorhead was one of the early organizers of the American Legion in this particular area.
Well, in the department, I believe they are, I'm not sure, I believe they might be numbered consecutively from the first organization, and Moorhead is post 21, so that might be the 21st in Minnesota.
I've heard that, and I presume that it's probably correct.
Yes.
That it would be something of that kind, which would make it one of the early, real early posts to be organized within this within the state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know anything of the real early history here of the post?
No, not really. I recall some of the activities during my school days and before I went in service myself. In fact, I can recall a Memorial Day ceremony at the Prairie Home Cemetery.
And it's on 8th Street.
On 8th Street, yes, across from Concordia College. And I can recall that because it was an awfully hot day. Margaret Newton, as you probably remember her, she directed the singing, I remember that, and it was an awfully hot day, but the American Legion post had a parade. I presume they probably started from downtown somewhere and paraded out to the cemetery. And I recall another incident. Well, that I probably was in the late 20s or sometime in the 30s, more likely, that the post put on a musical at the armory. I don't remember too much about it, except that I do recall that Dan Preston sang "When I Grow Too Old to Dream."
Yes.
I don't know why it stuck with me, but it has.
Dan Preston then was one of the real early members of the.
He's belonged for many years.
Many years. One of the. I believe you did a little research into the surviving World War I membership that still remain in the post.
Yes, I checked that register just yesterday, and I found 15 members who are still members of our, 15 men who are still members of our post from World War I. The only local ones that I can recall are Carl Hansen, who was a charter member, Jake Kiefer, and Dan Preston, who lives in Fargo now, and Jake Christensen. I was trying to think of some other names. I believe Elmer Underdahl, who I think is in a nursing home. George Prindle lives in Florida. He was a mail carrier here for many years. The others I don't know. There's a Trowbridge living in Barnesville. I believe it's a nursing home. And a Lathrop, I think, is in Park Rapids. I don't recall the other names, but as I say, there are 15 of them yet.
Yes, this is a fast dwindling group that obviously at one time it numbered, I'm sure, several hundred.
Yes, because at the time I joined in 1946, I think we had 400, 500, maybe 600 members, and the greatest number of them, of course, were World War I. The World War II members were just coming in at that time, like myself and you.
You alluded to some of the membership requirements of the Legion. It's basically for veterans, and the veterans have to serve in these certain conflicts between certain periods.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. It differs slightly in its requirements from the veterans of foreign wars, but...
Yes, I don't know just what the requirements there are. I do not belong myself, and... So I don't know just what the requirements are there.
Does the Legion have women members?
Yes, there are some. I don't know just how many there are now. Maybe 4 or 5.
But it has never been an organization strictly for men.
No, it never has.
It's just the definition veteran, and if the woman could belong.
Yeah.
What would you say are the goals and purposes of the Legion?
Well, I would say one of the main, well, not main, but anyway, rehabilitation of the veteran, that is, those who are disabled or handicapped in some way or other, rehabilitation from their experiences and injuries and such in the conflicts. And then, of course, there's the American Legion is very strong for an adequate national defense, and they stress flag etiquette, Americanism in many ways, and they support many activities for children and youth, particularly Boy State and American Legion baseball, Boy Scouts, so on and so forth.
I believe they also have had an oratorical contest.
Yes, they do have that
sponsored for many years. That has had goes through to a national selection of our high school speakers.
Yes.
And I would assume you mentioned the Memorial Day services, and I am sure the Legion in Moorhead has been involved for many years.
Yes, we have. Now, at present, that is, it has been so for several years now. The American Legion and the VFW take part together. And 1 year the VFW will be in charge of it, the next year the American Legion, and so forth. This year we are having our memorial service at the American Legion post at the hall, and the American Legion is in charge of it this year. But the firing squad will perform. That'll be a mixed between the two. And Judge Dan Foley is going to be our speaker this year. He is a friend of Gene Sheik, one of our past commanders.
And that, as I remember, over the years, probably beginning well back in the 20s, the Legion and the probably, and also the VFW, have been involved in the observation of Memorial Day as a national holiday.
Yes.
Would recognize particularly veterans as well as others. You have identified that part of your program is directed at veterans and their particular needs, and that also the youth program, which is a service part of your activities. Have you noticed in the years that you have been involved in the Legion, have you noticed changes that, as far as the direction that the organization is moving, or is it relatively constant?
Well, I would say it's pretty constant, although some of the social social side of it has probably been emphasized more by some than previously, but I think the goals for the post are pretty much constant.
I would assume that groups like the Legion, one of their purposes has been the camaraderie that comes from association in various ways, and I'm sure that that's the kind of thing that kind of holds a post together along with its programs service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where does the Legion meet?
We meet now at the American Legion. We're at the it's Memorial Hall or Memorial Building. In the Memorial Park. We've met there now for many years, and the downstairs now is a club room, and upstairs is a meeting hall where we hold meetings and other activities too. I don't know where the Legion met all the time, but I do recall one of the old timers saying that at one time they met, I think they called it the Harris Brothers Building. It's now Francis Peterson Automobile.
Yes, the other ship. It was in the upper level, wasn't
that,
it?
Yes, I believe so. I don't know, but I recall someone saying that they used to meet there. The present building was, I think it was in 1936 or something like that, the cornerstone was laid. It's on the building, but I don't recall exactly the date now.
It was it was one of the projects under the various New Deal programs, WPA or whatever. I presume the building is in a park, isn't it?
Yes,
it's in a city park. Mm-hmm. And it probably the title of the building is actually owned by the city.
That's correct. It was built and furnished jointly by the city under the WPA program and the American Legion. The American Legion furnished some of the funds for, I don't know if it would be for the building of it or for the furnishing of it, but through the years we have done a lot of improving on the inside, various improvements on the inside.
That was, I can recall people talking about that particular project, and it seems as though in that period of the 30s, that Clay County seemed to have developed some relatively highly skilled stonemasons that were using fieldstone, largely granite, mm-hmm. granite I presume, and the American Legion Hall or Memorial Building is one of those buildings that did make use of that stone skill. Others that I recall, do you recall any others that have had that very fine granite work?
No, I don't recall any.
Well, I remember the out at Buffalo State Park. There's some buildings out there that were built by the same crew,
Well, that may be.
And then the what used to be the Morton Country Club, the now is the restaurant.
Yes, that could well have been.
And that was done under the same type of thing, and it was the same crew, I understand.
Yeah. Well, for many years, maybe it for many years it was a town hall for
over that township.
Oldport Township.
Yes. It was built. That was its technical.
Yeah, that was.
It was leased to the country club, and then later to the, I guess, sold to private individuals for a restaurant. How about financing the projects of the Legion? How does the Legion raise money?
Well, of course, a very small part of it for our projects is through the dues. I don't recall what I paid in my dues when I first joined in 1946. It's probably $3 or $3.50. Now it's $15. But even so, a small part of that is kept for the post itself, because out of that $15, $12.75 goes into the department. Some of it comes back to the district. But it's taken care of. That takes care of the national department and district dues. So we have had bingo for many years. In early times, I understand, that is before World War II, I understand they had slot machines. But, of course, they've been gone for many years now. We've had raffles and, many different things. Now we have bingo twice a week, and we have been able to, in the last few years, we've been able to have bull tabs and raffles and things of that sort for raising monies.
Do you, are any of the fundraising events bring back any special memories to you? Have you been involved in any of the fundraising activities?
Well, I've been somewhat active in the Saturday night bingo for quite a number of years, but I can't think of anything in particular right now. I know when the number gets up pretty high and they have a jackpot that goes, the people get a little excited and they applaud the person that wins the 500 or 300 or whatever it might be, but nothing particular.
I recall the first time that the Post became involved in bingo, and continued for a season or so. And as I recall, Howard Lohman was one of the people who organized and was the leading light in bringing bingo.
Yes,
and then it died out for a while, and it was restored again.
He started it, and I think we started the regular Saturday night bingo in 1957. I think it was
1957,
and it was patterned pretty much after something he had seen somewhere else in the state. And excuse me, I believe it was also copied pretty much like the KCs do on their Sunday nights at the Morton Armory. But it is, the format of it has changed a little bit. That is, we haven't increased our charges any, but we have increased in other ways, increased and decreased in other ways our payouts. So I don't know exactly what the gross income is or anything like that, but I know at one time when I was, well, I've been taking care of the books for Saturday Night Bingo. I know at one time after we'd been in operation for quite a number of years, our gross income was close to $250,000, but of course our payouts took care of a lot of that, but the rest of it is put back into the post funds for charity projects and so on and so forth.
What are the projects that are relatively expensive that are funded out of activities like bingo?
Well, the most expensive is American Legion baseball, because we have, for the last few years at least, we've been fielding two teams, and that gets to be quite an item. The largest item, I don't know exactly how much was expended, but I would say it's, I think last year it is upwards of $13,000. And things are getting a little bit tighter, so we might have to cut back a little bit on some things, and so we don't cut out everything. We'll have to cut back and so we can spread it a little better.
Has the legalization of gambling in North Dakota had an impact on Saturday night bingo?
I believe so. Yes, we have we have bingo on Tuesday nights too. But I believe that that legalization in Fargo or in North Dakota has had quite an effect on us. Although we're still operating quite well, not as good as we used to, but we're still doing pretty well.
Why did the Legion, how come the Legion got involved in baseball?
Well, that I can't tell you. It started before my time. In fact, I remember Winton Johnson was the manager of the baseball program before World War II. And up through World War II, I guess, and even a little beyond, I'm not sure. But how it got involved, I just don't know. But it's a good program.
It's largely aimed, obviously, at teenage boys.
Yes.
Program for teenage boys, largely a summer program.
Yeah, that's right.
And as I recall, it begins, the season begins when the secondary school program ends.
That's right.
With the summer vacation in June, and goes on through the summer months and probably into the fall.
The after the regular season, I don't know exactly how long that goes or how many games. Then there are district and regional and, or not regional, but state, then regional, and then I think it's sectional, or is it, I'm not sure, no, regional, and then national tournaments. So generally the national tournament is towards the end of August or possibly into September. Last year the national tournament, was it last year or was it the year before? In Fargo. Year before. Time goes so fast.
The post does meet at the Legion Hall.
Yes,
and,
we do.
How often do they meet?
Once a month.
Once a month.
We have other meetings or other events, social or otherwise, or another time in the month, but our regular meeting is the second Wednesday of the month.
And that's an evening meeting?
Evening meeting, yes.
Evening meeting. Is food a part of the...
No. I remember years ago we used, when I first joined, of course we met downstairs, then we didn't have we met downstairs because it was more in the nature of a meeting room than it is now. And afterwards, we would have lunch. But that was discontinued, quite a number of years ago. I don't know just how long ago it was. And now it's no part of it at all. Which is all right, I guess.
Do you have a program at your regular meetings?
Sometimes we do, not regularly. Our last meeting, which was Wednesday of this week, a young lady from the Heart Health Program presented an educational program on on that program, educational, for, well, she emphasized the use of salt. She gave us a little questionnaire and so on and so forth. And she showed slides on the heart health program, which is very interesting.
Direction and purposes of the Legion probably were pretty much determined by the World War I veteran.
Oh, yes.
But they have been adjusted and modified to fit the needs of the subsequent wars, World War II
mm-hmm.
and the Korean War. Now, are there any aspects of the any activities that are held on an annual basis of the post? I know Memorial Day is an important day in the calendar. Are there any other special events during the year?
Yes, we have we generally have a picnic in June, but our other special events would be the annual dinner generally held in October, at which time we try to have the department commander or someone from the department as our speaker. And then in March, which is the birthday of the American Legion, we have a birthday party. And these last two times we've had, events, the Auxiliary and the American Legion have met together, and the Auxiliary has provided the food. So it's been very nice, and I think it's very important that we continue these two programs, at least, for the for camaraderie, as you say, and socializing with the Auxiliary members, because I wouldn't see some of these ladies at all, possibly during the year, except at one of these events, and vice versa.
Now you mentioned Auxiliary.
Mm-hmm.
This probably goes back to the time when the Legion was almost exclusively men, because women were not generally inducted into the service.
That's right.
And the Auxiliary, who makes up the Auxiliary of the Legion?
Well, the Auxiliary of the American Legion would be wives, mothers, daughters of veterans, or of members, that is.
And they have their own organization?
They have their own organization.
Closely affiliated with the purposes of the Legion?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
How about the recognition of Old Armistice Day or Veterans Day?
Veterans Day, that was another social event that I should have mentioned. We always observe Veterans Day. There are times when, now, whether it's done every year or not, I could not say, but we present a program at the schools, and we have open house at the post home for veterans, not only members, but other veterans too, and where we serve slumgullion and have a lot of fun. Just a social night.
Now that's in recognition of the end of World War I. Is there a similar celebration in recognition of other wars?
No. There are some observances for, I don't know, we don't have any specific observance for any other of the wars. So for some reason or other, it was decided that that should be the one big observance.
And that probably came about when Armistice Day was changed to Veterans Day.
To Veterans Day, yes.
And recognition of all veterans, not only the ending of World War I.
That's right.
You have mentioned some. You mentioned some of the early members of the Legion that you've identified that are still surviving. What are some of the, or who are some of the outstanding Legionnaires that Melvin E. Hurl Post has produced?
Well, the one most outstanding, I would say, was Dr. Joe Kesey. He was a commander, I don't recall the year, I would have it on my past commander's card. But he was not only a post commander, he was a district commander, and he was a department commander, for that is for the state of Minnesota. And he is the one who wrote a book on state government. I presume you're familiar with it. I know Gene Sheet knows much more about it than I do, that set up Boy State, pretty much set up the format for Boy State. He is no longer with us, of course, and Howard Lohman died some years ago. He was also a post commander, a district commander, and a department commander. Very active, and he was also a national vice commander for 1 year. There are others, of course, who have
district commanders
from our post. There's Bill Curran, Rudy Berglund, Oscar Almy, and then most recently Gene Sheik, in addition to Joe Kesey and Howard Lohman. And then we've had some others who are quite prominent in the community, or have been mayors of the city, Dr. Bottleson, and I believe, well, maybe you would remember, Rudy Berglund was Rudy Berglund, yes. Then Thornley Wells was an alderman and also mayor, and Dwayne Holberg. Mm-hmm. And Dwayne was also a state representative, along with Merlin Ballin, Doug Sillars. Doug Sillars is also a state senator. Henry Steening was one of the first state senators that I recall from our post that served there, and Bill Dozlin. And in addition to Thornley Wells and Dwayne Holberg, as aldermen, we now have two on the council. Martin Pinckney and Vic Fergan are aldermen. So the members of the post have been active in many ways, not only just for the American Legion, but for the community as a whole.
Does the Legion seek as an image in this community? At one time, perhaps, the Legion had kind of an image of being the playboy image. That would have certainly gone back many, many years. And kind of a noisy, their conventions were quite spectacular for a lot of fun and frivolous activity. But and more recently, I think they have taken on a more serious note, or more emphasized the serious side a little more. What now are they attempting to project in the community?
Well, I think they're projecting the the picture of a stable organization that does good for the community, not only in the realm of helping the baseball players and helping the veterans in the hospital and elsewhere, but the whole community as a whole. We donate to the emergency food pantry. We support Harbor School, which is for handicapped children. And there are a number of things that we contribute to, either our time or our money, so that I think the community sees the organization as more than just a fun organization, which it still is to a little extent, but not what it used to be. I know I've attended a number of state conventions. In fact, we're having a department convention here in Morehead in July. I've attended a number of them, and it's just serious business for the most part. Of course, in the evening, they do let loose, but not like it used to be, I guess.
You mentioned hospitalized veterans. Does the Post have a program, an organized program in visiting or looking to the veteran?
Yes, we have one who visits quite regularly, and he reports regularly to the Post. They have once a month they have a bingo night out at the Fargo Veterans Hospital, and there are several that assist there, three or four veterans and some of their wives are auxiliary members, and then there are other visitations too. That is, if we happen to know someone who's in the hospital, we let it be known so that they can be visited.
Indicated that you first became a member of the Legion back in, I think, 46.
Yes.
Have you, and you've obviously been a member since then.
Right.
Have you held office?
Yes, I was the post commander in 52 and 53, I believe it is. And now I've been the post adjutant since, I think it was 1976.
How do you feel about the organization? What's it really meant to you over the years that you've been a member?
Well, it's been a way of getting out, doing something that I think is worthwhile, helping the community or helping our fellow veterans, I don't know, I enjoy the meetings. Sometimes I get a little excited about some certain thing, but we get things done, which I think is a good thing. Get things done, we accomplish things that we should be accomplishing, and gives a person a feeling of satisfaction when that is done.
How would you appraise the Legion in Morehead? Is it a significant organization in Morehead?
Oh, yes, I think so. I would think so. I don't know exactly how many members we have now in the neighborhood of, it's some over 900. Of course, quite a few of them do not live here any longer, but the greater percentage of them do live in Morehead and surrounding communities.
Are there Legion posts in Minnesota in the immediate area?
Oh, yes, there are quite a number of them. In fact, just east of here at Dilworth, there is a post at Hawley, Lake Park, down in Barnesville, Wolverton, Tolican Rapids. There are a lot of them around. In fact, I was a district vice commander at two different times, and I had, I think there were 66 or 67 posts in the 9th district, and I had one-third of them. I had about 22 posts that I visited off and on during the year, all the way east to New York Mills and down to Pelican Rapids and Dalton, Fergus Falls, and even Parker's Prairie. We didn't go too far, my section didn't go too far north, just up to Felton and Hitterdahl, but out east to New York Mills.
All right, now, and I believe that we're coming to the end of the interview. Are there things that we have omitted that you might add to the record of about Melvin E. Hurl Post?
Oh, I perhaps have omitted some things that should have been included. However, if you would like to get some further information, I might suggest that you contact Gene Sheik, who has been a staff member on the Boy State for, I would say, 30-some years. He's now director of the Boy State. He could give you a little more insight into the operation of that program, statewide program. As for other things, I don't know. I didn't touch much on Legionville, which is a department operation. At one time, Howard Lohman was the president of the Legionville Corporation, and he pushed that. That is a camp for school patrol members. And it is, I believe, I don't know if it's the only one in the country, but at one time it was the only one in the country. And at that camp, the school patrol members are taught some of the basic things that they should know. They have highway patrolmen who are their instructors. And I don't know all of them about the program, but it is a very good program. And we have always supported that. In fact, there have been times in the past when we've had school patrol members come to our meetings and tell us what they experienced at the camp. We have also had members or Boy Staters who have come to us after their week at Boy State and told us about their experiences and learning about local and state government. I don't know of anything else that I should have touched on. I can't think of anything now.
Well, you've done very well in going over a good many years of the history and experiences, contributions of the Legion, and thank you very much.
Well, you're entirely welcome. Yeah.